Hello, everyone, and welcome to Homicide Hot Dish, where you get your scoop of true crime. I'm your host, Brittany. For our hot dish recipe, I chose a barbecue ranch chicken hot dish. This is definitely a different hot dish than I would typically make. It literally reminds me of Buffalo Wild Wings in a hot dish. As usual, check out our Facebook page, Homicide Hot Dish, for that recipe. And now on to the homicide. When 56-year-old Robert Haney goes missing, detectives search the property he was living at, and what starts out as a search for a missing person quickly turns to a double murder investigation. These are the murders of Stephen Delesino and Robert Haney. Robert Haney was born in June 1957, and most of his life was a bit of a struggle. According to Snapped, his former sister-in-law says, quote, "Robert wasn't very popular. He didn't have a lot of dates or friends. He was just quiet. Robert did not finish high school. He took off," end quote. Robert's son Jesse says, quote, "Him and his brother Don basically ran away when they were younger and started out on their own. My dad, Robert, would do plumbing, construction. He would basically build a house from the bottom up," end quote. Robert married in the 80s, and the couple raised 5 children. Robert worked a lot. He would put in long hours, 6 days a week, which put a strain on the marriage, but he was determined to provide for his family. Eventually, the long hours were just too much for their marriage to handle, and in 2003, the couple divorced. Robert and the children moved to Medford, Oregon to get a fresh start, and just like before, Robert continued to provide for his children. Then, in 2012, Robert decided to sell the place he was living in. His children had all moved out at this point, and the place was just too big for a bachelor. He ended up buying a camper to live in, and he got a dog for a companion. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Robert's son Jesse mentioned how he was into construction and that he would build a house from the bottom up. Well, one day Robert was scanning Craigslist and he came across an ad looking for a handyman. In exchange for the handyman service was a place to live. The person would actually be able to live on the property. How perfect for Robert. He had a camper and this would be somewhere to put it without paying rent. The person who placed the ad was a woman in her mid-60s named Susan Monica. Susan Monica was born in July 1948 in California. Not much is actually known about Susan's childhood and her past from growing up. She pretty much kept to herself and didn't really talk about herself much. But one thing that we know about Susan is that she was actually born a male. She was born as Stephen Buchanan. And she actually was in the Navy and served in Vietnam. She was honorably discharged, and after that, she began living life as a female. She was very successful in the engineering field and worked on submarines in San Francisco. But she soon decided that California wasn't for her. It was too busy, too noisy. She just wanted a quiet life, something a little more slow-paced and secluded. According to the Snapped episode, one of her former employers says, quote, "Susan spoke of coming to Southern Oregon to start a new life, to have a farm, some animals, and just a nice, quiet, simple life away from the city," end quote. So she moves to Weimar, Oregon, and in 1991, she buys a 20-acre farm. Now, this farm had absolutely nothing on it, just land with trees, and Susan was what I would describe as a rough and rugged woman. Susan started up a welding company where she made wrought iron fences, and these weren't your typical, boring, standard-type fences. She would fancy them up a bit and decorate them with animals or anything you'd want. She seemed to have an artistic side to her as well. Now, as I just mentioned, her 20-acre property had absolutely nothing on it when she bought it. She ended up putting up a barn and then decided to build a house. However, she needed help with the house. So, she put an ad on Craigslist looking for a handyman, and that's when Robert Haney responded. In 2013, Robert moved his camper out to Susan's property. He ended up getting part cash and being able to stay on her property in exchange for building her house, or rather shack, you could say. Susan had no electricity and it was just a shack in the middle of the woods. Now, Robert loved being on the property. It was just what he wanted. It was in the woods, it was peaceful and quiet. Robert stayed in touch with his children and they knew how happy their dad was living this lifestyle. But then on January 1st, 2014, after not hearing from their dad for a few months, the children file a missing persons report. They drove to Susan Monica's farm looking for their dad. She says she hasn't seen him since he quit without notice in September, over 3 months ago. Now, this is a shock for the kids to hear. Their dad quit his job? Susan asks them to get their dad's stuff. Since he's no longer there, she doesn't want his stuff on her property. So they go over to their dad's camper and are immediately in shock. It seems that all his stuff is still there. And I mean all of it. His motorcycle, his truck, all his tools, even his dog was left behind. The kids know something is very wrong. He wouldn't just leave all of this behind. These are his most valuable possessions. According to that Snapped episode, Prosecutor Alan Smith says, quote, "Robert Haney always took excellent care of his tools. They were his livelihood, and he would never leave them just strewn about the location as they found them," end quote. Robert's kids start to become worried that something bad may have happened to him. This is when they filed that missing persons report. They tell the sheriff's office that the last place that anybody knew where Robert was on Susan Monica's farm, which again was in September 2013, over 3 months ago, according to Susan anyway. So his dog has literally just been pretty much wandering around for the last 3 months. Now detectives needed to try and locate Robert's whereabouts. And unfortunately, that is very difficult for them because Robert worked a cash-only business. He had no other bank accounts or credit cards. The only thing he had besides cash was an EBT card. This makes it nearly impossible to track him down. Something of importance that detectives find out from Robert's children is that someone in their family had recently been assaulted, and it had really affected Robert and led him to end up turning to alcohol to cope. I never found out who this family member was, but I'm assuming it's one of Robert's children. According to that Snapped episode, a former employer of Susan Monica's says, quote, "He was distraught. He was very angry. He wanted to seek revenge," end quote. So maybe Robert was out looking for whoever was responsible for assaulting his family member. The detective's first stop is Susan Monica's property. Former Jackson County Sheriff's Detective Eric Henderson says, quote, "When we were coming down this gravel road, coming up to her property, I'm thinking to myself as we're pulling up, like, are we in the Twilight Zone here? Like, what is this place?" end quote. Now, I did share some photos of Susan's property on our Facebook page so you can get an actual visual of what it was like, but to best describe her property is, it's just very messy looking. Anyone from Minnesota, and I'm sure other states are like this too, clearly Oregon is, but here in Minnesota, we see farms in the country very similar to Susan's a lot. There's scattered vehicles that don't run anymore, randomly sitting all over. There's buildings that look like they're falling apart. There's random structures. It just looks like a rundown place that is no longer occupied. There's junk laying everywhere, piled up. It kind of reminds me of an episode of Hoarders, just stuff all over the place. Detective Eric Henderson talks with Susan at her property. He says she seems like she wants to help in finding Robert's whereabouts. She says Robert lived on her property for about 6 months, and she shares that Robert seemed to develop a drinking problem recently, as his children have also shared. Susan says Robert got a phone call about his family member being assaulted, and this made him very upset and depressed, so he began drinking very heavily. According to that Snapped episode, one of Susan's former employers says, at night you could hear Robert screaming, "Why, God, why?" Susan was getting sick and tired of Robert's drinking and yelling, and she decided that she was going to confront him about it. She says on September 9th, 2013, she had planned on talking to him, but she never did, because Robert actually came up to her and said, "I need to take care of some things. Will you take care of my dog for me?" He gives her some money, and then she sees him take off in a white car with another man, and that's the last time she sees him. At this point, it's assumed that Robert and this unknown male are going to find the person or people responsible for the assault and to get revenge. Now, Susan says she has no idea on the make or model of the car or a partial license plate number or anything like that. All she knows is that it was a white car. So this doesn't give detectives much to go on. Now, in the meantime, Robert's kids are doing everything they can to find him. They call homeless shelters, hospitals, anywhere Robert might be. And as I mentioned earlier, all Robert has is cash and his EBT card. So detectives try to track Robert's whereabouts from his EBT card. And on January 9th, 2014, 8 days after he's reported missing, they find that the last time his card was used was in December of 2013, the month prior to him going missing. They track down where his last purchase was made, and they find that it was a Walmart in Grants Pass, which is about 20 minutes or so from Susan's property. Detectives look at the surveillance footage from that Walmart, and obviously what they're expecting to see is Robert. But instead, they see somebody else using his card. It's Susan Monica. Detectives are shocked to see this. They go back to Susan's, but this time with a warrant to search her property for identity theft. The next day, January 10th, 2014, detectives arrive at Susan's home and ask her, "Why were you using Robert's EBT card?" Detectives say it was very evident that Susan became nervous after they asked her this. She says, "Well, Robert was letting me use it to buy food for his dog." She says she used the card up until there was no money left on it. While Detective Eric Henderson is talking to Susan, others are searching the property, and one detective is taking video of the property. It's noted that there's a strong odor. There's lots of decay. She does have pigs, so the pigsty, I'm sure, isn't helping with the odor. There's piles of garbage, old food, there's no electricity or running water, so there's no septic system. Mark Freeman, who is a reporter for the Mail Tribune, says, quote, "It looked like the setting of a low-budget horror film," end quote. Now again, there are pictures I shared on our Facebook page as well of this, so you can get a visual, because it is absolutely disgusting in my opinion. As the one detective is still taking video of the property, he's walking around just scanning the area, and he walks up to this small pond, or an area that water would drain to. As he's looking around, just walking around this small pond, all of a sudden he stops, and he says, "I think that might be a leg." It appeared to be a human leg that had been severed at the middle of the femur and was attached all the way to the toes. Now remember, Detective Eric Henderson is still interviewing Susan at this point, so he has no idea what has just been discovered. As he's talking with Susan, another detective comes up to him and just whispers in his ear, "We found a leg." Now, as hard as I'm sure it was, Detective Henderson didn't want to let Susan know anything, so he had to keep a poker face on. He just casually asks Susan, "Hey, can we just finish talking at the police department instead? It'd be easier there." And Susan agrees. While questioning Susan, one detective asks if anybody's died on her property, and she says no. Then he asks her, if someone had died there, would she even tell them? And she kind of laughs a little and says, I guess no. And then the detective says, "Well, they found a leg." Now Susan changes her answer, and here's what she says happened in September 2013.
I saw them eating the
Now, it may be hard to hear, but Susan says she came down in the morning, she saw the pigs on something, and it surprised her, so she went through the gate a little bit, and she saw that they were eating. She walked closer and saw what was going on. She took her hand and hit them to try to get them off. She saw that he was laying there, and his guts were all over the place. He was being eaten alive. She says she thought she saw his arm move and she did hear him moaning a little bit, but she was unable to get the pigs to move or to get off of him. So she goes to her house, gets her gun, and shoots him. She says she did it to put him out of his misery and she'd do the same thing for her animals, but that this was the first time she did it for a human. According to the Snapped episode, Detective Eric Henderson says after Susan shot Robert, she left him in the pig pen for a couple days. She said she took off his clothes so that it would be easier for the pigs to eat him. And she says after the pigs were full, I guess, she picked up his body. And she says, quote, "After a couple of days, I went out and I picked up what I believe to be the rest of him. I put him in a couple plastic bags," end quote. It's believed that an animal, possibly a coyote, smelled the decaying body and pulled the leg out, which is how it was found on Susan's property. Detectives then ask Susan, "Why did you shoot Robert? Why wouldn't you just shoot your pigs to save a human?" And she says she was just thinking about her pigs, and she was worried that if she told anybody what happened, that they would come out and shoot her pigs. It seemed all she cared about were literally her pigs. Her pigs were more important to her than Robert's life. Detectives tell Susan, "We're going to continue searching your property. What else are we going to find?" And she actually starts to kind of break down at this point and stumbles with her words, trying to figure out what to say next. She asks for a piece of paper. She draws a sort of map layout of the pig pens and the barn on her property, and she marks an X outside the fence line of the pig pens, and she says, "There's something worse here. What could be worse than finding body parts that had been eaten by pigs?" She says, "That's where you're gonna find Steve." Robert wasn't the first handyman to work for Susan, or the first to die on her property. According to that Snapped episode, Stephen Delacino lived on a property next to Susan's, and he would often do random odd jobs for her. 1 year prior to Robert's death, he was still working for Susan. His daughter says, quote, "My dad was a handyman. I always remember him carrying a box of tools. He was a hard worker," end quote. Susan and Stephen seemed to always get along well, until one day in September of 2012, she says two of her guns went missing. She ended up snooping around Stephen's property and found a handgun and a rifle that she believes to be hers. She confronted him about this, and things took a turn for the worst. Susan had her .22 revolver on her, and the two ended up in a wrestling match over the gun. As she was trying to get the gun away from Stephen, it went off and shot him in the back of the head. She thought it had killed him, but surprisingly, he stood up. She ran towards the barn, and he chased after her. She was able to quickly grab a rifle from the barn before he got to her, but he ended up catching her before she was able to use it, and another struggle ensues over this gun. Somehow, Stephen ends up on his knees with her above him, and she shoots him in the head with the rifle. She says Stephen ended up dying in the barn area, where the pigs are. She says she was so upset by what happened because she really liked Stephen. So she went to lay down to think about things and kind of process what just happened. She says while she was laying down, she realized that she had made a horrible mistake. She goes back out to the barn area a little later and finds that the pigs had started to eat Stephen. And at this point, all that was left of him was his skull, some bones, and his spine. 2 weeks later, she buries his remains behind her barn. She says she didn't go to the police about being attacked by Stephen because, again, she was afraid her pigs would be killed. She specifically said she values the lives of pigs over people. According to Herald and News, she says, quote, "I do not value human life very much. My feeling is the only thing wrong with the planet is there's people on it. If not for us, all the other animals, even dodo birds, would be here," end quote. Now that detectives know there are for sure two bodies that have been, or that are about to be discovered, on Susan's property, they ask her if there's any more. Detective Eric Henderson says, quote, "I asked her, are we going to find more people? Have you done anything like this to anyone else?" And she said if she told me about the 17 others, that she would spend the rest of her life in jail, end quote. Now detectives believe they've got a serial killer on their hands. Susan ends up being arrested for 2 counts of murder and 2 counts of abuse of a corpse. The next day, January 11th, 2014, multiple investigators and officers go to Susan's farm to try to find the rest of Robert's remains in the barn. Detectives said they couldn't even smell Robert's decaying remains because of all the horrible overall smells. They end up finding black garbage bags that contain Robert's head and other bags that contain other body parts. They bring in an excavator to the property to dig holes where they thought that Stephen's body would be. They end up spotting human bones in the bucket, and the digging was immediately stopped. They found Stephen. Detectives now have the tragic task of notifying both families, and as you can imagine, they are devastated. According to the Snapped episode, Stephen's daughter says, quote, "He was a wanderer. He would disappear and come back, and that's just the person he was. Nobody thought that anything happened to him. And there was no real way to get a hold of my dad. We didn't think, oh, years of not hearing from him, he must be dead. We just thought maybe he moved on to something else. But I did feel like a connection was going to happen with me and my dad. I'm very angry that I was robbed of this. Why would somebody do that to him in that way?" End quote. Both men died from gunshot wounds to the head. And according to Oregon Live, a state police forensic anthropologist says Robert's legs had been chopped off with an axe, and his thigh bones had signs that an animal had been chewing on it, obviously Susan's pigs. Detectives worked around the clock searching Susan's property to locate any other victims. They dug approximately 136 holes, and one was the size of an Olympic swimming pool. But they found nothing, which is really strange and surprising because detectives found a large pile of shoes on the property. A neighbor of Susan's says, quote, "She had a whole back room full of personal belongings from people, furniture and televisions, all stacked in an area near the pigs, in the barn," end quote. Just to be sure that they leave no stone unturned, detectives find all of the other people who have ever stayed on Susan's property, and they confirm they are all still alive. Susan's trial starts in April 2015, and she's facing multiple charges: murdering Stephen, murdering Robert, abusing Stephen's corpse by mutilating or dismembering, abusing Robert's corpse by mutilating or dismembering, and identity theft. Now, according to Oregon Live, Susan actually tried to fire her defense attorneys, and she wanted to represent herself. She tells the judge that her attorneys are not properly investigating her defense, and that one attorney in particular wanted her to sign a waiver so that they could look into any mental health records that she may have. Susan says, quote, "She seems to be more interested in my mental health than the case," end quote. She claims Robert left her property alive and that she wants her attorney to look at his cell phone records to see where he all was before his death. She says, quote, "They haven't tracked down where Robert Haney was a month and a half before I found him in my..." And then she stops herself before finishing the sentence. She goes on to say, quote, "I realize I am guilty of a couple things, but I'm not guilty of murder," end quote. The judge does end up denying her being able to fire her attorneys, though. Now, something pretty alarming is that Detective Eric Henderson testifies at Susan's trial, and he says Susan actually told him she wanted to feed him to her pigs as well. According to KOBI-TV, on her second day of trial, Susan brings things to a halt. Her confession video is played, and she is so shook with emotion from listening to it because in her confession, she's defending her pigs, and as we know, her pigs are her life. She says she can't bear to watch it any longer, and she's escorted out of the courtroom while the attorneys try to decide how they're going to proceed after this. And 10 minutes later, court is back in session. According to the Mail Tribune, during the trial, Susan addresses Robert's family, and she still says she came upon Robert while the pigs were eating him and that he was near death. She tells the family, quote, "I couldn't bring myself to call you simply to say, hey, your father has finally showed up. Come get him out of my pig pen. I couldn't do it," end quote. Now, many people testified saying Susan changed after Robert disappeared. According to KOBI-TV, Michael Bales, who lived on Susan's property for 3 years, says, quote, "Susan had always been nice and I noticed a change in her," end quote. He says she started acting differently and she was really irritated. Other witnesses say Susan and Robert didn't get along. One former worker of Susan's says that when she got angry with Robert, she would yell at him, but it was more of a scolding that she would give him. Detective Eric Henderson shares that Susan pawned two of her shotguns immediately after he first talked with her after Robert was reported missing. These very well may have been the guns that were used to kill the two men. Now remember, Susan claims self-defense as her reasoning for shooting and killing Stephen. According to Oregon Live, the state police forensic pathologist says Stephen was shot 3 or 4 times in the head, and there was no evidence proving Susan killed him in self-defense. During the second week of trial, prosecutors bring a surprise witness to the stand named Jordan Ferris. Jordan is Susan's former cellmate that she met while awaiting trial. This was a surprise to everyone, and Jordan says, quote, "Susan told me that Robert and her got into an argument because he was drunk and he was trying to come on to her. She shot him and then pushed him in the pig pen. She told me that when she pushed him in, he was still struggling and the pigs started to devour him. She was whining and crying and screaming. After she told me, she just chuckled really creepily like, almost like the chills made you know it was real," end quote. Jordan then shows the court a birthday card that Susan gave her when they were cellmates. Susan signed the card, "From the sweetest murderer in Jackson County, Susan B. Monica." Jordan says Susan killed people on purpose. Now, the defense, of course, argues this. They say her card was just a poorly timed joke. She didn't mean it seriously, and she was just playing along with what she was being charged with. Susan's attorney, Christine Herbert, says, quote, "It's consistent with Susan's personality and what she would describe as her strange sense of humor. Susan Monica will make comments and some are very inappropriate," end quote. Prosecutor Alan Smith says, quote, "During her interviews, she had often joked in the past about allowing her pigs to consume humans," end quote. Susan pleads not guilty, and the defense says she killed only in self-defense when she killed Stephen, and that when she killed Robert, it was out of mercy because the pigs were consuming him and she felt she needed to put him out of his misery. Susan is so sure of her innocence that she insists on testifying. She also wanted to question witnesses and do cross-examination and make statements to the jury on her own. At times, Susan would have outbursts in court. She would suddenly stand up and start making statements or answering questions. Her trial seemed to be a bit of a circus. During the trial, there's one point where the prosecutor, Alan Smith, actually brings out a dummy head and grabs Susan's rifle to show how he believes she shot Stephen, which the only way she could have shot him, according to the prosecutor, is if he was laying face down at her feet. which doesn't sound like self-defense, like she's claiming. And as the judge is addressing the jury before their deliberation, Susan actually interrupts him and stands up. She asks to give the jurors one more demonstration on how she claims she shot Stephen. She says, quote, "I'd like to demonstrate how I shot him for 10 seconds," end quote. The judge initially just ignores her. Again, as I mentioned, her trial was a bit of a circus to begin with, so he's probably just used to it at this point. But then she puts her hands up in the air and says, quote, "I held the gun like this," end quote. The judge then immediately orders her back to jail and the deputies take her away. She is then brought back for her verdict. After deliberating for only an hour, the jurors return with their verdict. Susan is found guilty on all counts. She is sentenced to a minimum of 50 years before even being considered for parole. The judge says, quote, "You shot two people and fed them to your pigs. I don't know how else I can put it. You valued pigs more than you value people. It may sound harsh, but you are a cold-blooded killer," end quote. According to the Snapped episode, Robert's son Jesse says, quote, "It was a little more of a relief when we got the verdict, knowing that she's going to rot in jail for the rest of her life," end quote. Now, even though her trial is over, are there still other victims yet to be found? Remember, she made a comment to detectives about 17 other bodies. According to the Snapped episode, Detective Eric Henderson says, quote, "My take on what she told me about the possibility of 17 other people being there was that it was true. I believe 100% that there are more people out there," end quote. Susan Monica is serving a life sentence in the Oregon Department of Corrections, and to this day, no other victims have been found on Susan's property. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Homicide Hot Dish, and be sure to check out our Facebook page for when our next episode will be released.